Jesus said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I spoke to you. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I think the Gospel that we have here should lead us to possibly ask, or it should lead the average Christian anyway, to ask some questions of themselves. If the world hates you, the Lord says, realize that it hated me first. And so the first question is, does the world hate me? I think that too many Christians think that their main job is to have everybody like them. You're supposed to be nice. And everyone's supposed to think you're nice. And you get along with everybody. You know, and that's what it means to be like Jesus. Jesus got along with everybody. And that kind of thinking, you know. And of course, obviously, he didn't get along with everybody. You know, how did he get up on that cross? You know, if he was, you know, Mr. Rogers and Mr. Pleasant, and only went around saying sweet nothings, and was just kind to animals and so on. So, in other words, we have the we have this sort of myopic difficulty in seeing properly that many people have in terms of the Christian life. It should be a normal part of our life that we experience hatred from the world. Now, we're not out picking a fight. We're not just trying to be obnoxious. But we're living the Catholic faith, which in many ways is quite radical. It cuts across every political distinction. It cuts across every philosophy and so on. It can affirm things in both political parties or in most philosophies, and it also critiques things. And so the Catholic faith cannot be nailed down or simply contained within some worldly container. It cuts right across everything. And this means that we're going to incur hatred and anger. Now, you know, I actually wrote a blog on this the other night. Every now and then, you know, the Catholic bishops are called, they're said to, quote, be in bed with the Republicans. Well, that's because when it comes to abortion or homosexual activity or marriage and so on. But then everyone scorns them and says they're all just a bunch of Democrats when it comes to questions like immigration or when it comes to questions of capital punishment and so on. And so, again, you see, we're not, the Catholic faith is not going to fit in some worldly container. It's easy to be a Catholic if you're a Republican or a Democrat. There may be struggle. Both parties should incur some discomfort, if you will, from the Catholic faith. You know, isn't it our job to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable? You know, and so it is this. There is going to be, if we're really faithful to the faith and not just trying to make it bend to worldly realities and screen it out and selectively interpret it. If we're going to really take the Catholic faith in toto, it's going to irk just about everybody on something. And so this is the first thing the Lord says to us. If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. And unfortunately, most Christians don't incur much hatred at all. They get along just fine with the world. And they have very few enemies, and part of the reason for that is they've suppressed the gospel. They don't really preach it. They don't really live it that intensely. They're willing to make compromises and get along to go along. And so this is kind of, unfortunately, the average situation. Now, again, there are many exceptions, I would say, of course, right here in the chapel this morning. But nevertheless, you see the point. This is a problem for many, many Catholics today, that we're supposed to sort of get along with everybody. Now, it goes on to say, if you belong to the world would love its own. But because you don't belong to the world, I have chosen you out of the world hates you. So the next question is, Do I really? Is it really true that I don't belong to the world? And that's a related question to what I just presented to you. But again, where do people draw their primary values? Where do they draw the primary way they see things? Is it really from the Word of God and from the teachings of the Church, or is it from the world? And in fact, as I've remarked to you before, I'm sure, well, another great struggle is that most people have the Word of God on trial based on their experience in the world, rather than having the world on trial based on their experience with the Word of God and the teachings of the Church. In other words, it should be the world that we're judging, but most Catholics have it backwards. They're judging the Church. How dare the Church teach this? Or, the Pope is backwards. He doesn't understand, and so on. On and on these things go. I'm a loyal Catholic, but out comes the list. And so we see that the Church is on trial. The Word of God is on trial. When it's supposed to be really the world that's on trial. See, it's the world that ought to be answering questions for a Christian. Why do you teach this? Why do you kill your babies? Why are you unjust to the poor? Why is it that that you have these distorted understandings of family life and of sexuality and marriage? Why do you think that it's a good therapy to kill the patient? In other words, through euthanasia and so on. Why do you think like this? What is your problem? That should be our posture. But instead, most Catholics kind of have their arms around, why is the Church teaching this? Shouldn't I just be able to do what I want? Can't everybody just live their own life? And what business is it of the Church's? And so it's the Church that's on trial. So again, the question is, I think here for us, it says here, I've chosen you out of the world. The question is, are we out of the world? Or do we... And what is the primary light that we see by? Is it the Scriptures? Is it the teaching of the Church? Is that the light by which we see everything? Or is it the world? And that's, of course, the challenge, isn't it? So, once again, there is this call that we have to increasingly be out of the world. We're there's an old saying, that I'm in the world but not of the world, obviously, we have to physically, live or make our home in this world, but our mind, our hearts, that core of who we are is no longer of this world. It's become increasingly remote from the way its way of thinking, its way of acting, its values, its attitudes, and so on. And of course, the challenge for every Christian is to be that way. See, and obviously today, as perhaps no age before, the ways that the world, the flesh and the devil can influence us are perhaps no more, never been so dramatic and so numerous. Every possible way from the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed, just flooded with images and pictures and internet and, just everything that keeps us rooted in the world. See, so this is a problem today. The question is, why does the world hate, in particular, the Catholic Church so much? There's a special venom, reserved for Jesus and for the Catholic Church in particular. A conversation stopper at a... I was in the airplane this last week, and there were two other ministers on the plane that I happened to know, but everyone looked at me. To be a Catholic, you say if you're at a cocktail party, not that you would be, but and you say I'm a Catholic, heads turn. If you say I'm a Methodist, no one, whatever. If you mention Buddha, no one says, oh, Buddha, yes. But mention Jesus, and suddenly people are in reaction mode. See, there's something particular about hatred for Jesus, and so on, and the Catholic faith in particular among all the religions. And the Lord is simply saying here, I want you to understand why there is this hatred. It simply says here, They do not know the one who sent me. All right? People today love to talk about God, but they don't talk to God. And they don't, it may sound polemical to say this, but they don't know the Father. Jesus says, the reason they didn't accept me is they don't know the Father. Yeah. And they may walk around claiming they know, but they don't know him. See, if they knew him, they would love what he loves. And they would love the truth, and they would come to understand who I am. They would come to love me, and they would know me, but they don't know me. They don't know. Now remember, know is not just intellectual know, you know, in the Bible. Never think that know in the Bible, K-N-O-W, means, you know, just intellectual knowing. It always involves deep experience. Experience. And so there's a lot of people who talk about God, who know about God, but don't really know the Lord. See, and we have to realize that part of our job is to begin to bring people into living conscious contact with God, and to bring our people more into living conscious contact with God, because without it, their hearts are going to be far away. And sure enough, any stupid worldly thing that comes up, they're going to run to it. See, they're going to run off to it, and they're going to cross their arms and say, "Why does the Catholic Church teach this?" And again, the real problem is, if they really know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to talk like that. See, and so to draw people, including ourselves, into a deeper, intimate, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, with our Father in heaven, and with the Holy Spirit, is the real, really the only solution to this. It's not just more catechesis. That's important, but it's not going to solve it in the end if people don't come to personal experience of God. And is more catechesis? Sure, do it. But, you know, better communication skills on the part of the church? Sure, fine. But in the end, people are still going to be hostile. They're going to be negative until they really encounter the Lord. And so our greatest work really isn't just intellectual formation, but is to draw people into this ever-deepening relationship with the Lord Jesus. And this is why it's so tragic that so many of our liturgies are lifeless, so much of our preaching is dull and lifeless. Again, how are we going to draw people into an experience of Jesus Christ in the liturgy if we're lifeless? See, so our job, first of all, as for me, a priest, and you as religious sisters, is to love the Lord, to know him, to be alive and personally knowing him. And with this, of course, we begin to radiate Jesus Christ. And so perhaps the greatest work we do, it's good for us to teach, and I spend most of my days teaching, but in the end, if people don't think I know the Lord and they can't sense his presence in me, it's not going to go very far. It'll be an interesting conference, Father. I'll have to think about that some more. And then it just dies. Half an hour later, they can't even remember what I said. See? But if they saw the Lord Jesus Christ alive in me, even if they don't remember what I said, they'll know that the Lord was with them. And the same with the liturgy, same in so many ways. So, sisters, again, the real bottom line root problem isn't just lack of catechesis. It is that. We need to do better. But it's people don't know. They have not met Jesus Christ. They have not met the Father. These are deities up there that somehow run the universe. They may respect them. They may have some knowledge about them. But they've never really met them. The Holy Spirit, who's he? What, some bird? Some dove? Piece of fire? Who knows? The great unknown. So it is. Well, I've gone on too long as usual. So, but again, pretty powerful stuff. Questions to ask ourselves, questions for Christians to ask, and in the end, the most fundamental question of all, for us who would teach and for us who would evangelize, do we even know the one? Have we ever met the one we're talking about? And if we have, our words take wing. Amen.